My name is Tim Ridgway. I am a practicing gastroenterologist at the VA Medical Center and also serve a position with the medical school. But I'm speaking today on behalf of my role as immediate past president of the South Dakota State Medical Association. I've been on the executive committee of the State Medical Association for, I think, better than 7 years and just completed my presidency this past June.
Help us then understand what the purpose of that organization is, on what you advocate.
The organization is a strong advocate, first of all for patients, and second of all for physicians, all physicians in the state of South Dakota.
Let's start with a discussion about people being concerned about changes to the Affordable Care Act. What programs do people like in South Dakota that are really pushed for through the Affordable Care Act? How has South Dakota benefited, and are those in jeopardy?
Well, first of all, the Affordable Care Act, what has it done? I was just speaking with a friend last week who was talking about the fact that she had had cancer at one point in time, and because of the Affordable Care Act, was still able to get insurance. So one of the big benefits of the Affordable Care Act for the people of South Dakota, and I think around the country, has been number one, even if you had a so-called pre-existing condition, you could still obtain health care coverage. And that was a huge positive. The second one, and affects a lot of South Dakotans as well, is that adults up to the age of 26 could still be insured under their parents' plan. So those were two big factors that I think benefited many South Dakotans as well as across the country. Now, your next question, Keely, was what's going to happen? Well, here's the bottom line. First of all, we don't know. We simply don't know. There was a lot of rhetoric in the campaign, repealing the Affordable Care Act, et cetera, et cetera. We're starting to see, I think, the administration back off on that a little bit, but there's still a big push. What the South Dakota State Medical Association, as well as the American Medical Association, is doing is talking, speaking with the Trump team about the basic tenets. What is it that we feel has to be maintained, whether the Affordable Care Act be repealed or perhaps just improved? And the one tenet is simply, we can't allow for all Americans or South Dakotans that are covered right now under the Affordable Care Act to lose their coverage if it's repealed. That could affect over 20 million people nationwide. So one of the real things that we are advocating for is that people that have been insured under this program will not automatically have the rug pulled out from under them. And that's a big question, right? That's going to be a big question amongst every one of these 20 plus million people that have coverage at the present time. The second tenet that we really advocate for is what I mentioned before. I don't think anybody would argue that two of the real positives out of the Affordable Care Act, it's had its problems, but the two positives have been, number one, the absence of pre-existing conditions. That's a huge thing. And number two, allowing adults to be covered up until the age of 26. Those are the basic tenets. We are also pushing for affordability. And that's something where we've got work to do with the ACA, right? I mean, some people's premiums have jumped dramatically. That has to be improved upon. We have to make sure that all health care is accessible. You can't get quality care if you can't access the health care system. And so those are some of the basic tenets that we're pushing for.
A lot of that sounds like it is from the patient perspective. What do your physicians think? How are they watching this and digesting possible changes or even the implementation still and trying to understand what it means for them?
Well, again, that's a good question. And from the physician standpoint, I think you have mixed feelings. There are those physicians that are just very pleased that they have more people with coverage, because it's no secret that if many patients aren't covered with insurance, they are going to avoid going to the physician. It's going to cost a lot of money. So guess what? When they do get sick, they're really sick. And then they come into the system, and it's frustrating for physicians in that aspect, because then you're playing catch up instead of doing the preventative medicine thing. Many patients that are uninsured use the emergency rooms as their primary care provider. And so that part can be frustrating. On the opposite end of the spectrum, administrative burden. It's huge. You know, physicians want to take care of their patients. They want to be able to have a good relationship with them, provide the care, communicate. And when you have all of these administrative burdens placed upon you, that distracts the physician from what we're primarily trying to do. You have to have loads of office people just to interpret some of this stuff, to code things properly. Any change, certainly they're looking for, can we simplify this, get these administrative burdens out, make it affordable for all individuals, and allow coverage for all people so that they can get the care that they deserve.
Because the point is, we're supposed to take care of people.
Bottom line is, you simplified it beautifully. What is healthcare? It's taking care of our people, taking care of our communities, improving the health of all individuals. What can we do to simplify that? Because it's gotten so detailed when you've got providers, you've got patients, you've got payers, and there's this whole morass of this money goes here and goes there, and what gets lost in the whole process is the simple communication between the physician and their patients to provide the best quality of care.
Knowing that we have no idea what's going to happen at the national level then, we can transition to talking about how South Dakota deals with some of its current problems taking care of people. So what is the answer to your question just there? How do we simplify it and how do we get better care to more people?
Well, in South Dakota, one of the big things that this could potentially affect is the Medicaid program in South Dakota. Governor Dugard, we applaud, our organization applauds Governor Dugard because he saw a need. He saw a lot of individuals in South Dakota that didn't have health care, the working poor, our Native American community. And he has been really outspoken and speaking up on finding ways that we can afford it in the state of South Dakota and provide care to a number of individuals that right now are not covered. And this was involved in his Medicaid expansion project tied to the Affordable Care Act. It was going to be a challenge in the legislature, but him and his staff have worked out the logistics. South Dakota could afford it. We could actually save money doing it. All of us were very excited heading into this year's legislative session that we are going to fight for this because it's going to provide care for a number of South Dakotans that right now don't have care. Well, now we have a new administration, and all of a sudden, those plans are on hold. Now, the governor has assured our organization, that he's been in touch with the executive branch about ways of modifying the Medicaid program as it exists. And the South Dakota State Medical Association simply supports Governor Dugard's thoughts on ways that we can help provide good care, quality care, and affordable care to many individuals that right now are not covered.
And what are some of those ways that you support that expansion? Now, I shouldn't say expansion because it's not Medicaid expansion, but to clarify, what are some of those ways that we can still reach out and make sure that people get the right health care and are supported in that?
Well, again, I guess one small, big tenet of this is, let's take our Native American community. Right now, the funding is complicated, and it's through the Indian Health Service. And what the state of South Dakota has been doing is looking at ways that the federal government can help to fund the care for these individuals when they may not be at an IHS facility. Right now, if they access their IHS facility for their care, they can get, the IHS facility gets funding for that. However, many times these IHS facilities are a long way away from where these people live, and so they may access care in their community. If they do that, South Dakota has to cover over 50% of that bill. So that becomes costly. So one of the things that the state's looking at is, are there ways that we can make certain that these individuals get the care they deserve and yet have it funded appropriately so that it's not a huge financial burden on the state of South Dakota?
Are there some things that you would not support as an organization as far as either specific efforts, or maybe if we just say, well, these people are there and we know that there are some issues, but we don't have any of the right answers. We can't fix anything right now. I mean, is that acceptable right now?
It's not. Frankly, it's not. I mean, what do we stand for? You asked me early on, what do we advocate for? Quality health care. And what is quality health care? It's supporting our physicians so that they can support our patients for the best quality care. And so the organization, for us to say, well, yeah, it's a difficult problem, and we're sorry, we just can't cover you numbers of people because you don't have health care insurance, too bad. No, that's not acceptable. But we need to find ways to work with our state and national governments so that we can find a solution that's acceptable to all involved.
It'd be nice to streamline and simplify health coverage and access to care, but with so many different elements, they're all tied together and it's a big knot.
They're all tied together. It's a huge knot. And so, again, we have to take the 10,000-foot view a little bit, I think. It sounds simple, but I think we have to start there. We have to make care accessible for our South Dakotans. We have a lot of rural communities out there, so getting healthcare providers in those areas to allow them to access it. Number two, we have to make it affordable, and that's huge. It has to be affordable for the patients themselves. It has to make sense for the physicians and make it affordable for them so that they can be there and deliver the care they need. I think we have to go with those basic tenets: less administrative burden, lower cost, and healthcare coverage for all. Now, a big task, right? That sounds really simple, but those are the basic tenets. We have to start there. And then our organization thinks we work with people, get the expertise we need to see if we can't make that work specifically for South Dakota.
You mentioned getting physicians and you said providers to these areas. I know one of the ways that South Dakota has looked at that is through telemedicine, which I always think sounds like something you do over the telephone, but
Yeah. It's
so much more sophisticated than that, with, you know, enhanced video screens and this ability to interact with different colleagues in different specialties and all of these things. Is that the route that we have to go, or are there other opportunities? And is funding for stuff like that at risk?
Telemedicine is one way, and it's an important way. It's been a wonderful thing. I've experienced it both on the private sector side of things as well as through the VA is using it more and more. And a lot of these people in remote areas that can't, or it is difficult for them to drive 2, 3, 4 hours, can access care right in their local facilities. The second issue is many providers, it's hard to keep physicians in these small rural providers. And so the telehealth approach is one way of being able to solve that. But that's not all. That's just one part of the solution. And yes, I think that future funding models have to look at that, because I think, frankly, it could be cost effective. The other way is emphasizing the value to our medical students, to our medical residents that are in training to become physicians, emphasizing the value of primary care. Because that's where it starts, right? Yes, we need specialists, no question, but we need more primary care physicians that are on the initial front lines, the point of initial contact for these patients to access care, and ensuring that they see the value of primary care, and in particular in our rural areas. Our medical school in South Dakota, for example, has initiated something called a FARM program, Frontiers in Rural Medicine. And we're having students spend the bulk of their clinical year, their third year, which is the first year they're exposed to clinical care of patients. We get them to these small communities. The communities have welcomed them. They're seeing the incredible value of doing that. We're hoping that programs like that are going to reap benefits down the road. The governor started a primary rural care task force a few years ago, and that committee continues to meet to look at ways to provide care across the state of South Dakota. So, Keely, I don't think that there's one particular solution to this. I think the telemedicine thing is a wonderful idea, but I still think we need the providers and we need to show them the value of primary care.
So we need the right tools and the right professionals in the right places so that people can get access without bankrupting themselves, and then everybody will be healthier in the long run.
Exactly. And a healthy South Dakota means a better South Dakota. And of course, we have to find the money for all this. So yes, it's not simple, But what's our alternative? Do we just wring our hands and say, well, we just can't figure this out, so we're just going to keep doing things the way we were? Not a good solution for South Dakotans or for our entire country.
Dr. Ridgway, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Keely.